Neither Warren Beatty nor Annette Bening has made a film since they were married a few years and two babies ago. In fact, neither one has made a film since they starred together in Bugsy in 1991. But that's nothing compared to Katharine Hepburn, who hasn't made a movie since her Oscar award-winning performance in On Golden Pond in 1981. Now all these rare birds have come together under the direction of Glenn Gordon Caron, who made Clean and Sober and Wilder Napalm. Film critic Stephen Schiff reviews Love Affair.
Once upon a time, there was a movie called Love Affair. I'm talking about Once Upon a Time in 1939, when it was a silky shipboard romance starring Irene Dunne and Charles Boyer, directed by Leo McCarey. In 1957, McCarey remade it as An Affair to Remember, starring Cary Grant and Deborah Carr. This time, the witty shipboard romance got bogged down in soap when the lovers hit the shore. But no matter, people loved it anyway. So much so that it became the centerpiece of Sleepless in Seattle, in which it was portrayed as the film that evokes heartfelt tears in all women and complete indifference in all men. All men except Warren Beatty, that is. For reasons that may have something to do with his wish to reestablish himself as a romantic lead, and may also have something to do with his wish to duplicate the success of Heaven Can Wait 16 years ago, Beatty has remade Love Affair yet again, and for a while the audience can be glad he did. Very cleverly, he and his co-writer, Robert Towne, contrived to get their two would-be lovers on an ocean liner for the shipboard romance part. And very cleverly, Beatty and Towne get some sexy romantic chit-chat going. Beatty plays Mike Gambrill, a former star football coach who's now doing sports commentary on television. As a womanizer, he's almost in the Warren Beatty League. But now he's engaged to marry a powerful TV honcho played by Kate Capshaw. Then he bumps into what he takes to be a beautiful stranger, Annette Bening. She plays Terry McKay, a decorator whose entire career is devoted to designing the mansions and yachts of her fiancé, played by Pierce Brosnan. Very quickly, Bening gives Beatty to understand that they've actually known each other before, and rather intimately, she hints, only he's forgotten, which leaves Beatty on the rainy deck of an ocean liner, scrambling to finesse the situation.
Is this uncomfortable for you?
What?
I mean, given our history and...
Oh, well, I don't think either of us want to give people the wrong idea.
Yeah, no.
I mean, why ask for trouble?
Right.
You do attract a certain amount of attention,
well,
you know.
As do you, and very deservedly, I might add.
Thank you.
But listen, I'm nothing if not discreet. But that's common knowledge.
If it were common knowledge, you wouldn't be discreet. But I'm fine with our history.
Oh, thank you.
Now the filmmakers have a problem. How do you move the romance from the brittle chit-chat stage toward the goal, which is massive tear-jerk? First, you have to make the audience adore the characters, and here is where the filmmakers immediately go awry. The smartest way would be to make your characters substantial and sympathetic. The cornball old Hollywood way is to get sweet old ladies and sweet little children and cute little puppies to love them and hope that the sentiment will rub off. Love Affair trots out everything but the puppies. And when the sweet old lady turns out to be Katharine Hepburn, well, even if the sequence she's in is utter rubbish, which it is, it's still a treat to see the greatest living movie actress at work again. But the longer Love Affair plods on, the sudsier and mopier and sillier it gets, with only a few brief moments of Gary Shandling as Beatty's agent to spark it to life. Then, too, there's the misfortune of this movie's timing. A full year after we've all digested Sleepless in Seattle. As Warren Beatty stands on the observation deck of the Empire State Building near closing time, he's waiting for Annette Bening, but you could be confused into thinking Meg Ryan was about to trip through the door. Me, I was hoping for King Kong.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker. Recently, when we reviewed Ed Wood, we mistakenly said that the film's director, Tim Burton, also directed Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton did write the story and co-produced Nightmare Before Christmas, but it was directed by Henry Selick. We stand corrected.